So part of the punchline's already been taken. That's part of the problem with outlines. All right. Are you liberal? You ought to be liberal. You ought to be liberal with the blessings God has given you. Okay, we're going to take back a perfectly good word and use it for God's glory, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon. This is what we're called to do, the gifts that God has given you. Not other people's gifts, not other people's monies. That's the wrong liberalism. But what we have, what we're called to do. It's a small group. It's hard not to hear and see. Sorry. So this is what we're called, brothers and sisters, the liberality. The liberal soul, I have the KJV here, shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. Waters abundantly, waters many people, waters those people who need watering in those situations and the difficulties in life. America, I understand, I've not studied and dug into the numbers, so please someone correct me. You know, I like to be precise and accurate. Is one of the most liberal and generous nations on the earth. I've heard, I believe, from Hannity and others, Hugh Hewitt, this, the numbers are staggering, how much we give in our private organizations, money and time. They've added them all up. It's for other people. And so that's a good thing, and that's something we ought to encourage in our children. So the lesson here isn't simply for us, but for our children, for those that we know in the church that we can influence other people's children. Because we're a family of God. Now, to back up a second here, as we're going through a proverb, to remind you again what a proverb is, a compact, emphatic statement is one of the compact ways, simplest ways to say it, or a pithy statement. Often, sometimes they're a little longer, and of course, as you go to the end of Proverbs, you have a longer section there to the king's sons. But here, the typical use of the Proverbs is pithy. We have Proverbs in America, right? An apple a day keeps the doctor away and the like. I don't think I grew up with a lot of pithy proverbs. Those are the simple ones I remember. But they're helpful. They help us remember things in an easy-to-remember package that we can grab. And we teach our children these things. And of course, as a child, they may think, I have to eat apples every day. But Daddy, I don't like apples, maybe they say. And my wife does, my daughter doesn't like the skin on the apples, so it's almost... No. You sit there and you have to explain to them. But it's good that they have a little handle, something they can grab. Proverbs are good for children to memorize now. They're little sponges. I'm not a little sponge. I'm an old sponge now, and I'm not very spongy as much anymore. I have to work on memorizing these things. Proverbs are good because they're easy to remember and to memorize. Excuse me. Eating food is good for you. Exercise is good for you. Cleaning your hands is good for you and throughout the day and throughout the week. But we don't say all that in long sentences. We have a pithy saying, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. And it's a generalized saying as well. It's not every time you eat good food. I mean, I've met people who've been confused about these less than proverbs saying, but just the laws of science, as it were, and medicine saying, well, you know, they tell me to exercise and to eat well, and I'm sick. What happened? Well, we didn't say you'd never get sick. I mean, that's not the point of the proverb, nor the point of the advice of the medical institution that you'll never get sick. Just your odds will be less, right? We say your odds are less. You have a better opportunity not to get sick if you exercise, if you eat well. And a lot of the proverbs are like that. Don't turn the proverbs, unless they're clearly echoing the Ten Commandments, don't turn them into hard and fast, ironclad laws, right? One of the famous passages, if you train up a child in the way he should go, he'll never depart from it. People quote that and say, well, there you go. My child will never depart from our church. My child will never depart from the career choice I gave him, or he picked himself, or he'll never leave Christ because he was in a Christian home. No, it's a proverb. It's a generalized saying that, yes, more often than not, typically, in a good, healthy society, which we are not in, because a society reinforces the family, our society attacks the family, that children will be taught, hey, birds of a feather flock together, you stay with the people you learn, you instruct them on what they're supposed to learn, they carry on to their kids. It breaks down eventually. Societies don't last forever. But it happened in Puritan America. It lasts a few generations. And even when it degraded, it was much better than we have today. So there's a lot of truth. It's a generality often, more often like observing things that we see. And of course, the rewards and punishment of the Proverbs which it mentions, you know, if you're not going to be obedient to your parents, you're going to be spanked. God's going to discipline you. God's going to come after you. They're there in the Proverbs as well. Those happen in everyday life. Sometimes they don't happen. We know, again, in generality, people get away with crimes. People get away with lying. People get away with betraying friendships at churches. But we know God will ultimately punish them if they do not repent and turn to Jesus Christ. What the Proverbs then do point to ultimately is that God will judge the people, even though rewards and punishment mentioned in the Proverbs. You work hard, you prosper, you water, you are liberal with your soul, you shall be made fat, is not a one-to-one correspondence. You can be very liberal like Job, and everything falls apart. But the proverb still holds true because the proverb isn't true for every particular case. So I want to make that clear. Let's not go to the Proverbs unless it is, again, an echo of the Ten Commandments and make it a binding rule in all and every case, always having rewards and punishment accordingly. But there shall be rewards in heaven ultimately, and God knows that. So our text before us this evening here, verse beforehand, I read the key verse there, and we have... And let me go back to Proverbs 11. Excuse me. Eleven twenty-four is the verse before. There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. So there's a generosity through scattering with the seeds, as you know, clearly, our agricultural allusion. We have to use that language today. None of us are farmers. We might live in the outskirts of the suburbs, like I do, and have some farmland around you, but we don't really know much about farming. But that's how they farm. They scatter it out there upon the prepped soil, perhaps, or unprepped soil, if they were desperate enough. And they're hoping to get something good out of it. And in this case, there's a pairing here. There's one who scatters, yet increases more. So there's an irony, he's kind of saying, I have seeds and I'm throwing them away. I'm scattering them far away from me. And I'm increasing and being blessed from throwing things away. That's the play on the idea there. Yeah, you're throwing away seeds because you know the seeds are going to grow into food. And you're going to be prospering from the food. That's the picture there in verse 24. Then it says here, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Withholds more than is right or just is the word. Within the power of the sower to give more, but he withholds it when he ought to throw it out there so there could be more prosperity. The farmer is a fool if he doesn't get all his seeds out there. Because he knows, statistically, the more seeds you have, the better your odds of being blessed. Better odds of being blessed. Blessed. But if you withhold it, well, they're going to lead to some poverty. And the allusion here isn't just the farmer. It's not Proverbs say, let's teach the farmer. It's teaching the little children who are learning these Proverbs and the adults who are reading these, be liberal with what God has given you. Don't be stingy. Be helpful and throw out the blessings of God. Then you have generosity through selling. The verse after verse 25. Verse 26, chapter 11, the people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Isn't that interesting? We have a little economic lesson here. We have a little economic lesson. Selling grains is a blessing to people. So proper capitalism is a good thing. The proverb is saying it's good, typically, to sell things. Now, you can't say that all the time. So here's an example of this being a proverb, and you can't go to this and say, see, we have to be hardcore capitalists all the time. Really, all the time? What about a national emergency? I think there was a national emergency in the Old Testament in Genesis. We haven't gotten there yet. There was going to be a long period of time of famine. Does this ring a bell? 7 years of famine. And the government said, whoa, we know about this ahead of time, so we're going to get all the grain ourselves and help the people. And Joseph helped the man do that. There are times of emergency where, as it were, the ordinary rules go out the window. We understand that. That's why they're called emergencies. Okay? But we shouldn't turn emergencies into the standard operating procedure of things in life. And so this proverb here is reminding us, brothers and sisters, the general truth that selling things is good. Give people things they need, but don't just give. You give through selling in this case. Holding back brings anger, presumably because you're trying to raise the prices. I mean, if you hold back the grain, why would the man hold back the grain? The government, you know, holds back grain. In fact, the government goes to the farmer, buys a bunch of food, and corn, for instance, buys it and throws it in a silo and it rots. Did you know that? They've been doing that for decades, I think. Wow. Because they're trying to, what, control the pricing of the corn. And then there's some, we'll go into the details, but there's some rationale, because the farmers perhaps will be adversely hurt. We have a mutated economy in the world anyway, so it's kind of an interesting problem anyways. But that's what you do. You hold back the good things. You don't want to sell it. Maybe you want to sell it later so the prices go up. We have laws against gouging. You know where that came from? Puritans in New England. Again, emergencies. I remember the earthquakes in California. I think it was the early 90s or the riots, one of the two. It was all the same effect. And there was price gouging with water, right? Gallons of water costing $20 or something. Completely illegal. That's terrible. People need it and the like. So hoarding can be bad. It's not about how much you can possess. So those are the verses before and after here. Verse 25, the generous one, the liberal one who gives the blessing. The Hebrew word is... sometimes someone may pronounce it, ironically, Barak. I bring that up because someone made some comment about the way a word sounds in Hebrew. If I recall, it was Sarah asked me that question, Meyer, about this. You know, someone's saying this word means this and that because it sounds the same. Who cares what it sounds like? It's a Hebrew word. We don't even really know what it sounds like. We've never dug up a dead Hebrew. But it's the word generosity that will bring fatness or prosperity. The generous one will be made rich, is the fatness. If you water other people, you will be watered with God's blessing. Miserliness, stinginess, and greed are rejected in Christian society. That's why I talk about a Christ-centered capitalism, not a Christless or godless capitalism, which is what we've had for a while now, where businesses and companies are not concerned about glorifying God. Not just in the abstract, we can talk about that all day long. What does that look like in the concrete? Well, they're more concerned, many of them, about their bottom line. What can I really, I got to squeeze out. Oh no, the market is only making 0.5% compared to 1.5% or whatever it is. And they're bemoaning themselves and crying out, this is terrible. Meanwhile, they're fat, rich, and happy. Because it's all about money and what I can get out of it. We should not fall into that trap. This verse is an antidote to the prosperity in your lives. You are prosperous. You are filthy rich. You realize that. I know you do. You've been told that. You realize that when you see history, when you see the world right now. Africa, South America, most of Asia, maybe all of Asia. The Middle East, except I suppose the rich in Saudi Arabia, are poor, dirt poor. We are rich. And Christ warns us when we are rich to be careful. And one way to fight that, this antidote here, is to be generous, brothers and sisters. And I know you have been. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. And this proverb should be an encouragement for you to be generous. Generous with what God has given you, your abilities and the like. And so you scatter, you increase, you're generous, become fat or rich and prosperous. You water and you're refreshed. You sell and you are blessed. Those are the parallels there. Verses 24, 5, and 26 in the Proverbs. Now, what of these blessings? The blessings that are offered here, the blessing of increase, the blessing of richness or fatness, the blessing of being refreshed, the blessing of blessing, as the word is. In the Old Testament, the physical blessings were prominent. The land, family, the male child. They're there. They're just popping out of the page. Look, this is what God's going to give you. But in the New Testament, the spiritual blessings are prominent. The fruit of the Spirit. Right? You don't have that phrase there in the Old Testament. It's not highlighted as such, although we believe and know it's there. Here's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's liberality, generousness, kindness. Right? When you're liberal with your time and your money, is that not kindness, brothers and sisters? One of the fruits of the Spirit? Of course. But God had taught them a lesson, is teaching them a lesson, as in the flow of redemption, as we say, like we teach children. Children learn things in a very tangible, concrete way. We don't teach them algebra in second grade. There's a reason why we wait till they're about 12. Then they're ready mentally, more often than not, for abstraction. Meanwhile, they want the concrete, and God gave them concrete, gave them a concrete carrot. Look, you obey me, you are generous with your blessings, and of course they're supposed to be generous with one another in particular, the Jews are, the poor Jew. There shouldn't be poor Jews amongst them that become slaves or servants more precisely, because after after the seventh year of the year of the Jubilee, they're free. And that's really generous. We don't have that kind of generosity in America, that you're in debt in some cases. They're like, in debt forever. We're gonna thumb you down, pull you down to the ground, and crush you with debt. Well, the blessings that we have today, brothers and sisters, here, this proverb is still applicable, although we may not have that physical carrot as prominent before us in the New Testament. It's still there. Let's not forget about it. What do we have in Ephesians? But an echo of the fifth commandment, to honor your parents, that it may be well with you on the earth. On the earth. So, again, as much as we ought to emphasize, because the New Testament emphasizes, but does not neglect the fact that God does give physical blessings, material blessings, for those who are generous. The emphasis should be, of course, upon the spiritual reality, the increase in the fruit of the Spirit when you're generous. You can be generous. And I believe, and I know, because I've been here for over 20 years, this church has been generous with their time, money, and effort and talent for people. You, people here, our members here, people who have been members in the past, and people who have been transient, you know, coming and going. And we try to be patient and loving with them, and I know we're not perfect, but I have seen it. I've been to other churches, and I can make some kind of comparison. And I can look at the Word of God in particular. It tells us what to do. And God has been good to us. And although we've given these blessings, we've not always had blessings in return. But that's not why we did them, is it? That's not why we should continue to do them, because we're expecting something in return? No. People may take the money and leave and never come back and squander it, for all we know, in some cases. Do it anyways. The biblical assumption here is that God indeed does bring blessings. Deuteronomy 7 through 8, it is He who will give you the power to get wealth. Remember that passage? He tells them right up front, you're going to be arrogant. I'm telling you right now, God has given you, not just the Jews. You hear this evening the ability to have the kind of wealth you have. It's amazing. And God brings blessings so that others may be blessed, so we can love our neighbor as ourselves. That you have that prosperity is not for your own selfish gain and not just simply for your family. Although you ought to take care of your family, of course, with the prosperity you have and your children's children. That's being liberal. But also more than that, born your biological family, your spiritual family, and even at times strangers. There are other texts in the Bible that, of course, talk about generosity and liberality of heart, a big open heart. Proverbs 22:9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. I don't think I need to tell this group, he means the deserving poor, not just anybody who says they're poor. But let's not become jaded and fall into the trap of thinking, well, everyone must be that way in America. You don't know, it's case by case. You must have a willing heart and pay attention. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Oh, wait a minute. This is Paul in the New Testament. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, brothers and sisters. A smiling Presbyterian. This is what he loves. Or a smiling Baptist, whatever, Anglican. All those are beautiful pictures. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So it's not just giving of the tithe, but every good work. And that's what we're going to talk about, not just liberality in the Bible, liberality in life. What does this look like? What are the applications? Generosity in general, verse 25, of course, is speaking in general. The generous soul will be made rich or fat. There has to be a heart disposition. Do you desire to be a blessing to others, or do you do it to show off? I mean, the proverb clearly assumes you must do it with the right heart attitude. But it's a proverb. It's pithy. It's not going to talk about your heart. It's just saying be generous. Don't do it to show off, as we know of the Pharisees who do these things to show themselves off. And it's kind of an odd position when we go after the politician to find out what they've done with their money. Because some of them, in all seriousness, maybe don't want you to know what they've done with their money because they've actually done good things and they don't want to be prideful about it. I know it's probably hard to imagine if we're jaded by now, but I think we ought to take that seriously. So it's not the end of the world, it seems to me, if we don't always know exactly what's going on. But then again, we ought not to be foolish about it. So there we are. Do you meditate upon the gifts God has given you? Are you just haphazard through life? You don't even think. You're not self-reflective. Americans typically are not self-reflective. Sit down, breathe through your nose like I taught my daughter. Out your mouth. When she got nervous and concerned when she was a little younger, and I helped her, at least that's what she tells me. And focus, and what's the problem, and what's the solution? Maybe. You can't always get the solution. I know that. But here, I'm talking about meditation upon the gifts God has given you. God has given you gifts. God has given your children gifts. Have you sat down with your husband or your wife and thought, what are the gifts my child has or maybe are developing right now? Write it out, or if you're good in your memory, keep it in your mind and talk about it and ruminate with one another and think, what can we do? How can we encourage them at church and in the neighborhood to exercise those gifts? It's nothing fancy. I know people want to fall into the trap. It's easy to fall into the trap. Hey, you got to be a preacher. You got to be someone amazing. You got to be a great writer. Why? No. You can be generous all kinds of things. Your love, your compassion, your understanding, your ability to do something that other people can't do or understand things that other people can't understand. Don't be haphazard through life. If you wish to take this proverb seriously, to be generous soul will be made rich, you have to know where your generosity comes from. I don't mean in the ultimate sense. I just mean, what kind of generosity can you bring to the table? What do you have? What gifts has God given you? Time? Retirees have time. Be generous with it. Rich people? I mean, you know, it's relative in our society, I know, if you're especially rich than others, what do you do with the money? Be generous with it. So think about these things. To think how you can use them for their good, other people's good, and God's glory. And of course, actions speak louder than words, not just a heart disposition. Meditating upon yourself and examining, asking one another, asking your friends, ask your spouse, what do I have? What can I give? Do it. Do it. Nike was right. Just do it. I don't think they've done that in a while, but that's, you know, it's pithy, it's helpful. There's times you have to sit there and just say, do it. That's what adults do. We got to do it. I don't want to drive 10 hours tomorrow. I just got to do it. my family, so it'll be fun. So, in generosity in particular, what does this look like? Here is selling, verse 26, and the people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessed be the one in the head of him who sells it. So it's okay. You can call someone generous who sells things. Isn't that interesting? And that's the parallel. It's all the parallels here. They're all overlapping these verses and ideas and shouting it out. Generosity doesn't necessarily mean free. You can give a good deal with your product, a high-quality product for a fair and even excellent price. Why not? Why isn't that considered generous? Maybe because we've been beating our heads unbiblical ideas. Business, it is okay to make money as long as you do it with a Christian mindset. Of course, Christian goals. Selling forces people to work for what they want and need. That's certainly a good thing. as opposed to cornering the market with gold, silver, and whatnot, withholding the grains instead of selling it as they ought to. Sowing, the one who scatters yet increases more. The one who is generous, a generous soul. There's no particular verb there. The scattering is clear. There's more action there. Just a generous soul will be made rich. He who waters, there's a verb, will also water himself. He'll be refreshed of himself. To do things, your things that you have, you can use for other people. We're so prosperous, we have extra toys. there's a Facebook for our neighborhood, and they put up there things like, oh, free toys, come down here and get it. They're being generous. They could just easily turn around and try to sell it on Craigslist, but the first thought was, hey, this is our neighborhood. I'm glad they think this way. We have a neighborhood. Let's be a community. Let's think of our community first. And, of course, I think we had to think of the church first and community and our family as well. It should be local. It should be especially local. But clothing, phones, toys, food, extra things we have. And so we have to be, therefore, be aware of the needs of the church or the needs of our family or the needs of the community so that we can be generous with our clothing, extra clothing, phones, toys, and food. And give them. Don't just quickly think, I can make a money. Hey, I can make a fast buck. See, because he made a fast buck with his grains. Well, I know that, but I'm inclined to push the free part when we can, if it's obviously not for a living. We're not doing this for a living. That's not my emphasis here. Nor, I think, here as well. We have so much stuff. And that's one of the easiest things to do. You may be busy with time. You may think you don't have a lot of talent, or the talent you have has been very focused. We have stuff. We have so much stuff. Stuff coming out of our ears. It's an incredible amount of stuff you have. Just move like I did. And I cleaned the house, and I still have stuff. We have a big old sale at a place called Tradesmart by the Southland Mall off of Wadsworth. Didn't hardly knew it existed because it's a one-of-a-kind store. And they are selling DVDs, I mean, there's a room full of DVDs, this rack upon rows, double-sided rows of DVDs for a dollar. Used DVDs of movies that are 5 to 10 years old, various and sundry good movies, bad movies, and different movies, but that's how much prosperity we have. They can just sell it for a buck. Of course, they're going out of business, so that's another problem. But it came from everywhere. They had so much. I didn't know there were so many movies. It was incredible. I just go there once in a while to see if there's something there that I can get for maybe someone here. Figure out what movies that Simon likes, perhaps, and give him some action flick. I don't know. But sometimes it's because it's overwhelming. I don't think I want to go there. It's just rows upon rows of people are there methodically going through because there's so much stuff. One movie, is it the right movie? And just because they're all DVDs, right? They're all small now. Like the old VHS are twice the size. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Give it away. Ability, not just things. Ability. Consider your experience, your skills, your knowledge, your time. I mean, just being with an older person who's struggling, and you don't have to say much. You can just sit there and maybe watch a movie with them. We were invited to Linda's house, and she's partly physically disabled to some extent. She still struggles with her hips and the like. And other ailments, and she, you know, she wants companions, so we went with over there, and we watched God's Not Dead 2. Now, I will tell you something. What am I? I'm an analytical thinking machine. I'm a weird Reformed pastor. I'm a loving person. I think I want to try to be a loving person. It's easy for someone like me to watch that movie and just cut that out. No, I was there for her. Yeah, it was an enjoyable movie. It's like, hey, let's just relax. Turn, you know, I don't have to be analyzing everything. I did it for them, to be generous for her. And for my daughter and the rest of us, we had a friendship there. So it doesn't. You don't have to necessarily do anything. You feel like you got to have some special ability. No, be generous. Be generous. And so consider what you do have. And the times, I fear, may be getting worse. Again, we have the legal harassment, and we may have to find out how much we have to depend upon one another than we have done in the past to help one another financially, physically, and the like. So let's get comfortable with it as we have at this church. Continue to do it, brothers and sisters. Time. I have his own separate category here. I kind of mentioned that right there. Offering the ability means time, even with little ability. It's okay to spend time. You don't have to even eat anything. To meet someone at the park at lunch, they had a hard day, say, hey, you got a half hour lunch, I'll meet you there, and we can sit there and just talk what happened today. Shoot the breeze, as they say. It doesn't have to be deep spiritual conversations all the time. It's about connecting. A lot of times it can be just about connecting and being comfortable. So if something does happen down the line, because you were generous with your time, that they're open with you now. And you can talk about more deeper issues if things become a problem. Take time with the youth. Don't think the parents can do it all. Don't fall for the conservative lie that tells you you don't need a village for your child to grow up. That's not true. You need the village of God's people. I mean, she took a truth and she twisted it. We know what she meant as a socialist. We know what we mean as conservatives, people who take the Bible seriously. We do need one another. The children need one another, and the young adults need all of us. So be generous with the precious thing you have in your life, time, if you are able. Because you have to divide your time, I know, your family, and work. Don't be discouraged. Keep being generous, as I know you are. I don't know all your particular cases, but again, I've been here for a very long time, and that's a blessing, a good blessing. And I've seen God work in your families and work with your generosity and love of the stranger, love of neighbors and visitors who come to our church. I've been told that. I've heard, as it were, around the bend, people saying, yeah, it's a loving church. They were a helpful church. They were compassionate. Good. Meditate. Meditate further upon God, Christ's generosity towards us. Christ was generous, right? Christ fulfilled the Proverbs. Think of it that way. Christ fulfilled the Proverbs for us and in us, as Romans 8:4 tells us, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us continue not to quench the Spirit, but to show generosity and love towards one another. Let's pray. As we close this evening of your day, may we be encouraged to continue on being generous and liberal-hearted, Lord, toward one another and towards those in need.